Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, it is Friday, the 13th, October 13th, 2017. Welcome to The War Room. Stacks of news today. Going to be probably a news blitz style show today. We probably will take some of your calls as well. Laura Loomer with the latest with the security guard Jesus Campos in the first hour at 3:30. Roger Stone in the second hour at 4 Central. Kaya Jones in the third hour at 5 o'clock Central to talk about her tweets from this morning. When we come back, we'll talk about the latest in Weinstein Gate. But first, here's a report from Mark Dice.
While the mainstream media is finally talking about the corrupt casting couch culture of Hollywood, we're going to go deep into the heart of Hollywood in this video and talk about what you won't see or hear in the mainstream media. In fact, this Harvey Weinstein story was killed by the New York Times 13 years ago, and when NBC's reporter Ronan Farrow wanted to do his expose, NBC refused to publish it, and so he went to the New Yorker, which then thankfully did, which is what started opening this big can of worms. And now the head of Amazon Studios, Roy Price, since they create original programming as well, has been suspended for similar sexual harassment allegations. As more women continue to come forward with stories of harassment and other abuse at the hands of Harvey Weinstein, this still is just the tip of the iceberg of what goes on behind the scenes in Hollywood. An even darker secret that's just beginning to be uncovered is the fact that gay Hollywood executives also harass and also sexually assault male actors as well. As difficult as it is for women to come forward after they've been sexually harassed or assaulted by high-level Hollywood producers, imagine how much more difficult it must be for men who face homosexual harassment. Terry Crews, who's been in a bunch of television shows and movies, has come forward to say that he was not only just sexually harassed by a high-level gay executive, but sexually assaulted. This guy's like a 230-pound former NFL player, and he was afraid to come forward and say anything about it until the stories about Harvey Weinstein started circulating, and he finally decided to speak up. And now James Vanderbeek, star of the teen drama Dawson's Creek, has just come forward and said that he too was sexually assaulted, not just harassed, sexually assaulted by a gay Hollywood executive. Most likely there's dozens, if not more, actors who are household names who have also been victims of homosexual harassment and sexual assault, but most of them will never speak up because they don't want to be perceived as being homophobic or cross the Hollywood gay mafia. Here's Chris Rock at the Oscars last year, who was making fun of everybody after they won, until Sam Smith won an Oscar for Best Movie Soundtrack and decided to announce to the audience that it was a victory for gay people, and then Chris Rock was afraid to crack any jokes because he didn't want to get in trouble.
Congratulations, no jokes there. Not gonna get me in trouble.
Oh, don't want to get in trouble. Can't make fun of gay people. They're above reproach. In fact, after the CEO of Mozilla, that's the creator of Firefox, the popular internet browser, Brandon Eich, was exposed as not supporting gay marriage, he was forced out of the company that he created. Bill Maher was even shocked and came to the CEO's defense, but did say that he thinks that there is a, quote, gay mafia, and that he, too, was afraid to cross them. Here's rapper Fat Joe on what he calls the gay mafia in the entertainment industry.
I happen to think there's a gay mafia in hip-hop.
Right.
Not rappers. You know, right. The editorial presidents of magazines.
Sure.
The PDs at radio stations. The people who give you award at award shows. This is the f***ing gay mafia, my man.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? They are in power.
Did you hear DJ Vlad off camera agreeing to everything that he was saying? Even Harvey Levin, the head of TMZ, who himself is gay, admits that there is a gay mafia in Hollywood. He says that it's not a criminal organization, more or less a very powerful political organization. But us normal people aren't supposed to talk about that. We're also not supposed to talk about the fact that since President Obama repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell and allowed gays into the military, that there is an epidemic of gay men raping other soldiers. And one study shows that gay men raping other soldiers in the U.S. military isn't twice as high as is being reported, or three times as high, or four, or five, or 10, but it is actually happening at a rate of 15 times higher than what is actually being reported. But of course, to liberals, facts are considered to be homophobic, or racist, or sexist, or transphobic, etc., etc., because liberals hate facts. And of course, liberalism is the cause of all of these problems, which is why we desperately need to find a cure. And you can help spread the word by visiting my online store.
All right, folks, when we come back, I will give a breakdown of the latest of the Harvey Weinstein accusations, as well as the police briefing from the Las Vegas Police Department. Don't go anywhere.
is the War Room.
People that were the people that did this to both me and Corey yeah. that are still working, they're still out there, and they're some of the richest, most powerful people in this business.
And they are.
And they do not want me saying what I'm saying right now.
Are you saying that they're pedophiles?
Yes.
And that
yes.
they're still in this business?
Yes.
That's what, yeah, and that's what you're saying wow. in your book. When you
that's
talk
what
to
talk about, yeah.
no. when you talk to
and
parents,
they don't want me here right now. Trust
Corey,
me. They want me dead.
There are a lot of parents out here yeah. who want to put their kids in this business. Their kids are cute. They're great actors. Da, da, da. What would you say to a parent who just has the best of intentions who's coming here with their child? Uh-huh. If you're saying that there's a lot of predators in this industry,
it's a many feathered bird. Okay? Be careful what you wish for. That's what I'll tell you. You know, don't go into it with naivety. Don't go into it thinking that it's all roses and
you're
sunglasses and
an entire industry.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to say that it's a very important, serious topic.
You said that there was one gentleman in the industry who did not take advantage of you. He was not a pedophile.
That's
you said
right.
it was Michael Jackson.
Of all people.
Wow, I actually didn't realize that was how they finished that clip. I was literally thinking about Michael Jackson the entire time. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are live weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Warroom.show is where you can find all of our content. So you heard Mark Dice breaking it down, how Hollywood is crumbling. Next, you're going to see the gay mafia exposed, the pedophile mafia exposed. Corey Feldman is one that has been very vocal about the pedophilia in Hollywood. He's not been the only one saying this. And this is just me speaking what comes to my mind, and I'm crazy. But is it me, or does Corey Feldman look an awfully lot like the offspring of Charlie Sheen? I don't know. That's again, I just say what comes to my head sometimes here because it's just weird. It just gets weirder and weirder. We came out with a couple memes today at Infowars.com. The first, you had The Week. They published a headline, or I guess a cover, to The Week that said, "See no evil. Why powerful men get away with sexual abuse." And then they put Trump and O'Reilly behind Harvey Weinstein. Now, of course they did this. Anytime the left gets caught for who they truly are, they have to somehow brandish the right in with it. But there's our meme. Now go back to what we did. This is how we respond. This is how you meme war. So we put the real predators back there. You know, the ones that have settled rape lawsuits and lost in court. Yeah, those ones, those Democrats. That's right. Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill Clinton. That's right. Huma Abedin's husband, Anthony Weiner. And then leading the pack is Harvey Weinstein. So what The Week doesn't understand when they print this cover with Trump and O'Reilly instead of the true sexual predators, Clinton and Weiner, this is the death of The Week right here. So congratulations to The Week. We will put this cover on your tombstone and mark down this cover as the day you basically killed yourself. So congratulations to The Week on completely blowing that. Now, where is that other meme that we made today? Because Harvey Weinstein is just the tip of the iceberg. And that's what you're seeing right now, folks. Everybody's talked about this for a long time. And then here's Harvey Weinstein, the tip of the iceberg that will be Hollywood exposed when it's all said and done. Now, why was I thinking about Michael Jackson while this whole thing is going on? So Michael Jackson is apparently the big story. He's the big pedophile. He's the one that's touching these kids all the time. He's the one that invited all these kids over. You would think that would be the one everybody continues to talk about, that you would say, look, here's an example. The most powerful musician, the most powerful entertainer, the most powerful artist, apparently a huge pedophile and still goes on tour and still does all this stuff and all these people still stick up for him. My conspiracy theory, crazy opinion is that Michael Jackson was completely set up because he wanted to expose all of this. And so he was threatening to the pedophile establishment in the music industry and in Hollywood. So they destroyed his character, set him up, and then killed him before the truth actually came out. And then it's funny, because I didn't even know that Feldman said that in that clip. And it's funny that he would say that. And that just when all of this is coming out now, that nobody goes back to Michael Jackson. Sometimes you get afraid of your big lie. Sometimes your lie is so big that you're scared to go back to the scene of it. And nobody seems to want to go back. But this is Weinstein Gate. 30 women have now accused Harvey Weinstein of sexual misconduct. 30 women. What is this, a weekend now to Weinsteingate? What's this going to be at the end of the month, huh? 60? 70? 100? 30 women have now accused Harvey Weinstein of sexual assault. Now, this was interesting to me. You may recognize Kaia Jones. She's been a guest on the War Room. I don't know if she's been on the War Room. I know that I've interviewed her multiple times. She's been on the Alex Jones Show before. And she just had a series of tweets early in the morning, about 5 a.m., I believe, talking about what she experienced in the music industry, how she was silent, how people get abused as children. And it was, I mean, this is going to be, she's going to be on with us at 5 o'clock. I don't know if anyone's interviewed her about this. We could be the first people to actually interview her about this series of tweets. I'm very much looking forward to that. That's going to be, quite honestly, one of the toughest interviews of my life. So we're going to talk to Kaia Jones about what she was tweeting about, what she knows about this. And then you got Jane Fonda. Men like Harvey Weinstein should go to jail. This goes on all over the world on all kinds of levels, says Jane Fonda. Now, she didn't say anything, and it's funny because she brings that up. Jane Fonda, I knew about Weinstein, and I'm ashamed I didn't say anything. Now, this is where I actually want to talk to Kaia about this because, it's tough to try to really understand this. And that's why maybe Kaia can give us a little eyes into this experience, because should we be saying these women are brave? Is Jane Fonda right? I mean, should they be ashamed? I mean, what type of psychological analysis and what type of proper response should we, the American people, be giving these women? I mean, part of me is like, okay, it's brave for you to come out now, obviously. Another part of me is like, why didn't you come out sooner? Probably more victims happened because you didn't come out sooner. But again, I don't understand the whole nature of this other than that it definitely goes on. He revolted me. Harvey Weinstein offered Maylene Klass a sex contract. And she told him to F off. And we already heard reports about this too, how basically he had it built into his contracts that he could sexually assault people. And that's how he was able to get away with it legally. And who knows if these, clients are actually reading the entire print. Maybe they're colluded. Maybe the clients don't realize their lawyer is colluding with the big production company and they don't point it out. And then they say, he sexually assaulted me, I want to sue him. And then they say, oh, sorry, look at this clause, look at this byline. Can't sue him for sexual assault. So again, this is all the tip of the iceberg. This is the beginning of Weinstein Gate that will eventually completely cripple Hollywood if they don't decide to clean up their act. So maybe we take over Hollywood instead. L.A. Reid's Epic Records exit followed allegations by female staffer. So you never heard about this, but Antonio Reid basically left the job at Sony Music's Entertainment Epic Records, and that was immediately after a claim from a female assistant saying that he unlawfully harassed her, sexually harassed her. And so now it's coming to light. Uh-oh, looks like this is going on in the music industry. Looks like this is going on in the Sony music industry, and that's why he had to leave. So again, pull up the meme of Harvey Weinstein, the tip of the iceberg, folks. I'm telling you, InfoWars has been reporting on this for years. People in Hollywood, in the music industry, have been trying to, including Michael Jackson, have been trying to tell you about this for years, okay? And now it's all coming to a front. Oh, and I forgot to print this out. Market Watch yesterday publishes the story. Harvey Weinstein's production company had been basically having financial problems for months before all this. Remember, he ran out of money. Could that be the reason why they're all bringing him down? Could they be trying to divert all the attention to what Harvey Weinstein was doing instead of the pedophiles? I don't know. We've just now seen the tip of the iceberg. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of The War Room.
There is no conspiracy between the FBI, between LVMPD and the MGM.
Nobody is attempting to hide anything, reference this investigation. The dynamics and the size of this investigation requires us to go through voluminous amounts of information in order to draw an accurate picture. My attempt, like I stated earlier, is to give you information as I know it, unverified, to calm the public, not to establish a legal case. Everybody understand that? No question, sir.
A very interesting press conference today from the Las Vegas Police Department. That was Sheriff Lombardo. Again, FBI agent Ruse doesn't really give many details, doesn't answer any questions. He says no conspiracy. He specifically says MGM, FBI, and the police department. Strange how he includes the MGM in there, considering they're doubting the official timeline. But he says no conspiracy, but here's what Sheriff Lombardo said just the other day.
It's an ongoing investigation, and when I say I do not know, I may know.
When I say I do not know, I may know. Okay, well, maybe that's a conspiracy to not let the truth out. Maybe not, but it's, again, very interesting, especially when you consider what he said in the most recent press conference today, which they kind of just snuck up. They didn't really give it much publicity. The only people that rebroadcasted it were Fox, again, ignored by MSNBC, ignored by CNN, ignored by Bloomberg, ignored by BBC, ignored by Sky News. Just nobody plays it. And, you know, there was something else that he said that was interesting. In fact, let's roll it again. Roll clip 19 one more time. Go to this clip from today.
There is no conspiracy between the FBI.
I've never heard that anybody say this before.
LAPD and the MGM.
No one's ever addressed a conspiracy.
Hide anything. Reference this investigation.
No one's trying to hide anything? Where'd the security guard go? Why is the timeline changing? Why was Paddock wearing gloves?
Amounts of information in order to draw an accurate picture.
That's what it was. Unverified information. That's what he said that was strange. Okay, I was trying to remember what he said. All right, you can pot that down again. Okay. So again, what is that? Unverified information. What is he talking about? But here, this thing snuck up on me, so I'm going to try to read notes off of this tiny little piece of paper here. But okay, so now they've retracted on the timeline again and are again saying that he fired at 10:05 and not 9:59, and they're saying he fired for 10 minutes. Now, originally, they said that the shots rang out till about 10:19, which was true according to my research. In fact, I didn't pull this video. I didn't have time today, but you can go and you look at the cab driver's video, the one video that was probably the most famous. You can hear the gunshots ringing, and I'm pretty sure she's looking at the clock, and it's 10:17. So literally that timeline can be disproven to me with the cab driver video. They're saying that the shooter stopped at 10:15. Pretty sure the shots went till at least 10:17. Now, are these peanuts in the overall investigation, or is that significant? So they're saying the shots now started at 10:05. That's when the security guard was hit. And then after that is when Paddock allegedly started firing into the crowd, the lone shooter. They're saying that officers arrived on the 32nd floor at 10:17. And allegedly that is 2 minutes after the shots were fired, according to their official timeline. And they're saying the reason why it took so long was because they evacuated all the rooms on the floor before they breached the room, which I don't know. I'm not a police officer. We're going to be joined by Brandon Tatum next week. I'm curious if that makes sense. If you've got an active shooter that is apparently just letting fire rain through the hallway out the door, wouldn't you want to just get in there and take the shooter down before he starts firing wildly while people are on the floor? Maybe that's why they did evacuate the room. So I'm not making any claims there. I'm just saying this is what the official story is. For the first time in the press conference, Sheriff Lombardo was adamant about no questions. He said it multiple times. For the first time in any press conference that I've ever covered doing this, I've never heard anybody denounce conspiracy. I've never heard anyone denounce a cover-up or a lie. And I've never heard somebody actually implicate the players involved, as Sheriff Lombardo did, the Las Vegas Police Department, the FBI, and the MGM. again, I don't want to think that Sheriff Lombardo is a liar or trying to hide anything. In fact, I would say that he's probably being tugged around by the FBI, and I have a reason for that, especially at the end of this. I'll get that to in a second. He did mention that the Las Vegas Police Department's role has been contracted or compacted throughout this investigation, meaning basically their role was shrunk and the FBI's role was basically they took over and went in charge. Lombardo specifically said there were no other bad actors. He did lead that, though, saying that they have been searching, that they have been looking into it for potentially accomplices and other bad actors, which I think everybody at this point believes there were at least two shooters. But think about that. Biggest mass shooting in history. They think there's accomplices. Anybody who's done their own analysis of the videos and the audio from that night believes there's more than one shooter. No lockdown, no manhunt, nothing. Nothing, no shelter in place, no emergency. It's just all good. Don't worry about that. FBI said, quote, nothing was overlooked, and quote, they're making great progress. Now, I found this odd. A, nothing overlooked. If you still say there's one shooter, you've obviously overlooked everything. And then two, he says, quote unquote, great progress. What progress? There has literally been no progress. In fact, if anything, there's been regress. You've changed the timeline multiple times. You're missing the security guard that was allegedly a hero. What progress has been made on this at all? Agent Ruse from the FBI says, I quote, great progress. I ask you, the listener, what progress? I've seen no progress. They said that Lombardo said that the shooter also aimed at police. Now, this is when he started getting a little emotional, actually started crying. And he said that once police arrived on the scene, they believed that the shooter was then targeting police and police vehicles. So another little interesting wrinkle. Again, now unfortunately you're left to debate the sheriff in this deal. And then he finishes the press conference to me with one of the most interesting things. He said, thank you for letting me be your sheriff. Now, here's why this was interesting to me. All the time I have been covering this and researching these things, the sheriff or who's ever in charge of the police department, I always go back to Ed Davis, formerly of the Boston Police. Whenever there is a police officer that cooperates with the FBI and goes along with their official narrative, the police officer, usually within a year, gets a promotion and is no longer with that police department. Is that what Sheriff Lombardo was alleging to, pointing to, giving you a foreshadowing, saying, thank you so much for letting me be your sheriff? Has he already accepted the promotion? Have they already told him how it works? Or was that just an emotional moment when he was really feeling for his city? I don't know, but when I look at the past, I look specifically at people like Ed Davis, I can't help but say, is Lombardo about to get a nice, juicy promotion for going along with the FBI and letting the FBI railroad him and his department into the ground? I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. We're going to be joined by Laura Loomer on the other side. She's been all over the security guard story. Jesus Campos, I'm telling you, this is all weird. Jesus Campos disappeared on Thursday. He will rise again Sunday. Mark my words.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Donald Trump said on this video that he likes kissing pretty women and that...
You don't?
Sir, can I finish?
You like kissing ugly women?
Excuse me. Folks, I am standing in the middle of 1984 civilization.
It's bad, you know.
You know, when I cover these things, I'm like a hunting dog. And I just follow the scents, I follow the trails, and I see where it takes me. And when you're following all of these trails, and you realize that there's all these different scents going down all these different trails, and there's no ending, you start to realize something ain't right here. Something doesn't smell right here. Something's fishy. Somebody set this entire thing up, in fact. I mean, seriously, think about this, folks. You've got all of the windows that Paddock had rented where he would be overlooking a concert, much like the one that he shot up. facing Mecca, where you would pray if you were Muslim. You've got the fact that the biggest massacre in United States history or recent history happened at a harvest festival under a pyramid. And it's like, oh, you're crazy. Okay, yeah, because human sacrifice, human harvest has never happened under pyramids in history. No, it just doesn't happen. So again, is this just coincidence? Am I supposed to believe that these two things are coincidence? And then Jesus Campos disappears on Thursday. If he comes back on Sunday, I'm telling you, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm sorry. It's just like, what is going on? How does he even disappear? He had armed guards, armed security at his house, and he disappears. There was no security at Paddock's house. It gets broken into. All these audio reports, all these videos prove that there had to be more than one shooter. The whole thing is just so staged. It's unbelievable. We're now joined by Laura Loomer. She's been all over this Jesus Campos case. Laura, first, shocking that they don't put security at Paddock's house. It gets broken into. But they do have armed security at Campos' house, Jesus Campos' house. The security guard once said a hero. Now it's in question. He's gone. He's gone. What do you know? You've been boots on the ground.
Well, after there were reports last night that Jesus Campos canceled his interview with Sean Hannity and four other, national interviews, and people were saying that he was missing, I decided, okay, well, I'm just going to go to his house. I mean, that's where he would be, right, if he was hiding out. I mean, this guy can't be missing, because I literally was just at his house 2 days ago, and he had private armed security making sure that he wasn't leaving and making sure that nobody was coming inside the house. So I show up, there's no reporters there. I knock on the door, I don't see security, and a woman answers the door, a female family member of Campos. And I'm like, okay, is Jesus here? I mean, they're reporting that he's missing. I'm just worried about his safety. Is he here? Can he come out and speak to me, please? And she said, we were told we can't talk about this. So there's confirmation at the door of the house of Jesus Campos that the family has a gag order. There is a gag order that has been placed on the family members, and I assume Jesus Campos himself as well, and they can't talk to people. So if he really is a hero, why does his family have a gag order? Why can't they talk about what he did that day? Why can't they talk about what he saw? And then security gets out of the car, and they say, okay, you need to get off the property, and we're talking to them, and they wouldn't answer my question as to whether or not Jesus was there or whether he was actually missing. So it's misinformation, right? Jesus is not missing, because that security guard who is stationed outside of his house, his job is just to make sure he keeps eyes on Jesus at all times. So why would that guard be there if Jesus was missing?
Okay, so you're saying that you do believe Jesus is actually still there, still in his tomb.
Right.
But he's not allowed to speak. The family's not allowed to speak. They're under a gag order.
Right.
Okay. So that would explain why he can't do any interviews. That would explain why he won't answer the door. However, that does lead us down another road of questions that begs answering. Why wasn't he under a gag order before, or family under a gag order before? Why did his house all of a sudden need armed security detail? And what is the gag order all about? We had the sheriff today say there is no conspiracy going on. Well, why is this guy under a gag order then? Obviously, he's under a gag order, so he can't talk. So that would lend people to believe there is a conspiracy going on here.
Well, look, Owen, I showed up to the press conference today, and I wanted to ask those very questions that you're asking right now, but I was banned from the press conference. I showed up.
Wait, they didn't even let you in?
They wouldn't let me inside. They wouldn't let me or my cokes inside the press conference today. They had armed security preventing me from coming out. And even there were local Las Vegas TV reporters who were taking pictures of me. And they were like, wow, since when does the police department get to decide, like, who's media? So,
okay, hold on. We got to stop you right there. So you're telling me that even local media there was essentially kind of standing up for you? Like, why won't you let her in?
Yeah, local media were standing up for me. There was an
NBC report. Wow, I'm shocked by that. Wow, that's huge. This is a huge story. So what was there? Yeah. I mean, did they give you a reason?
Well, okay, so what happened is all the other press conferences that have been scheduled, they've been announced like at least 3 to 4 hours ahead of time so that people
can prepare. Yeah, they snuck this one in. Yeah.
They snuck this one in 45 minutes before.
Snuck it in, wouldn't answer any questions. Unbelievable.
They wouldn't answer any questions. So I'm like rushing to get over there because I thought it was going to be this afternoon. And then when I get there, they say, oh, you can't go in. Like, you need credentials, like media credentials to get in. Like, I don't work for a mainstream media organization. I'm independent. My verified Twitter account and, you know.
You don't have a First Amendment.
Yeah, right. So I don't have a First Amendment. So then the door was locked and there was an armed security guard there. And he wasn't standing in front of the door until I arrived with Mike Toks. And so the guard then positioned himself in front of the media briefing room. And I was just thinking to myself, wow, it took you guys, what, 7 minutes to get armed security guards into the Mandalay during a mass shooting? And then two independent journalists walk in and you're on our ass in 7 seconds? Okay.
Wow, and let's keep in mind, too, that you actually were able to get a question in at the last press conference.
Right.
It didn't really get answered. In fact, it got deflected. And it's funny to me because when I listen to these press conferences, I hear the questions that people are asking, and I'm just like, what kind of a nitwit is in there asking these questions? Yeah. Why aren't they asking real questions?
Right. So my question, even though the sheriff said, please stop asking your question, and he shouted, he tried to shout me down, my question was the most important part of that entire press conference, because what it did was at the end, it forced the sheriff to have to admit, yes, we told you guys that the check-in date was originally the 28th, but now we're looking at the time of the 25th to the 28th. But we don't believe that Stephen Paddock was checked into the room between the 25th and 28th. So not only did he confirm my reporting, but he also lied. Right. In which another part of my reporting proves that he's lying, because there's room receipts from room service that prove that Stephen Paddock ordered room service for two on the 27th. So why is Sheriff Lombardo lying again when he's forced to clarify this horrible misinformation campaign in which he and the FBI intentionally fed false information and facts about Stephen Paddock's check-in date to the American public?
Well, I'll just play the role of the audience and I'll say he's being told to lie by the FBI, or the FBI is scuttling the investigation. And he looked frustrated throughout this entire thing. I think today was kind of their stick a fork in this thing. We're done with you. We're done doing press conferences. This is the official narrative. Shut up. We're not asking any more questions. We're not taking any more questions. Wow.
Yeah,
I don't know where it goes from here.
That's not the official narrative. That's not the official narrative, because the narrative that they're giving, there's already been holes that have been poked inside their narrative. They're not reporting the facts. Their dates are not correct. Even Mandalay MGM Properties themselves released a statement yesterday saying that they don't believe that the police, the LVMPD, and FBI have an accurate timeline. And they even used the word misinformation. MGM said that the LVMPD was giving misinformation to the
American public. And then Sheriff Lombardo says that in his press conference today. Well, there's no conspiracy between the FBI, the MGM, and the LVPD. Well, yeah, because all of your stories are conflicting. Laura, we only had you scheduled for one segment. Stick around if you can for another segment after this. I want to just talk more about this. Try to ferret all this out. None of it makes sense. This dog is not going to hunt. Nobody's buying this story. And I will promise you there are certain personalities on Fox that are not going to sweep this under the rug, folks. Well, it's Friday the 13th here, and it is certainly strange times here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Welcome back to the War Room. We are live every day, 3 to 6 p.m. Central. Follow us on Twitter at War Room Show. For all of our content, warroom.show is the website. We're joined by Laura Loomer for one more segment here. She's boots on the ground in Vegas doing some investigative reporting. She blew the story open on the timeline of when Paddock arrived in Vegas. She asked a question at a press conference earlier this week, got shouted down, then got denied from getting into the press conference today. The security guard, originally hailed as a hero, is now being held up in his home, and his family is under a gag order. He can no longer do all the interviews he had scheduled. I believe he had 15 interviews scheduled or something. Maybe it was five. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Five.
It was five. Yeah, thank you. So, Laura, it's all strange. What do you think this all points to? I mean, what do you think this is all pointing to as it just gets weirder and weirder?
Well, look, I mean, it's just what I said last night right outside of Jesus Campos's house. It's starting to look like this guy that Sheriff Lombardo and the FBI and the LVMPD portrayed to be as a hero. he looks like more of a suspect than a hero, because why would a hero cancel on Sean Hannity, right? That's like throwing away a winning lottery ticket, canceling an interview with Sean Hannity. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Nobody would ever do that. No sane person would ever cancel on Sean Hannity.
And here's the thing, I'm telling you right now, Hannity is not going to sweep this story under the rug.
No, he's not. I mean, he's not. I mean, I spoke with Hannity personally yesterday, and it's not going to go under the rug. So I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, some other Fox reporters probably will just sweep it right under the rug. But I don't think Sean Hannity, I don't think Tucker Carlson will. The rest of TV News will, gladly. But I think Fox News still has some good people that will at least put this message out on the television. Obviously, you can follow Infowars.com, Laura Loomer on Twitter as well, because we're going to be keeping this up. You were going somewhere else with this. What else do you think this points to?
Well, I think that it also just goes to show that there is a widespread cover-up, because why would the FBI and why would law enforcement in the area be silencing like a guy who claims to be innocent, a guy who claims to be a hero in an investigation, right? It's obviously because they're trying to prevent certain parts of information from being leaked to the public that may have something to do with Jesus Campos. And honestly, I think what it is that Jesus Campos isn't even a legitimate security guard, right? So what's going to happen is MGM now.
Yeah, reports would back that up, just so people listening know. Reports already back that up. He's not in any infrastructure. He's not in any database. He's not registered in the Nevada database to be a security guard. Nothing. We've got people actually working on a report right now trying to get the information that was on Campos that Mandalay Bay had, and it's very discreet, almost nothing there. We're working on verifying that stuff right now.
It's not there because, you know, I broke the story. I exclusively broke the story this weekend about how Jesus Campos was scrubbed from the official MGM employee profile database, which has a profile of every single employee, you know,
and
to
a picture
date.
Too.
And he was scrubbed from the security and surveillance staff system.
Right. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do here, Laura. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw I don't know if this is a pebble or it could be a boulder, and it's either going to cause a splash or a ripple. But I'm going to bring this full circle, and I want to get your take, and then we're actually going to take a caller. Let's remember, the night of the shooting, a woman did an interview saying that there was a Hispanic woman going into the crowd saying you're all going to die, who is also with a Hispanic male. Now, she said that these two individuals were shorter in the 5-foot range. Let's bring it all full circle. Jesus Campos, Hispanic. I don't know how tall he is. Is he a 5-footer? Is he in the 5-foot, you know, 6 range like the people or the woman was saying in the interview? Why isn't this being asked about? Is this something that's being bandied about anywhere? Is anybody thinking about this? Is anybody talking about the woman who said you're all going to die?
We can't get any answers because, as you saw today, they're not taking answers at these press conferences. So these are
so
really
no one's asking this.
Well, I have been asking questions like this. So no, that's not true that nobody has been asking this, because I've been on the ground asking.
But no one's asked the sheriff this.
I've been trying to ask the sheriff a lot of questions. I've been contacting the sheriff's office, the local FBI agents on the ground, but they are refusing to answer questions. I mean, I confronted the FBI as they're walking up the escalator inside Mandalay Bay. Nobody wants to talk, right? They're obviously covering this up. And yeah, it does make you wonder, why are they?
Well, Laura, I know that you're not going to stop. I know that you're relentless and you're going to continue to talk to these people and you're going to record it. So I'm just going to say, my suggestion is the next time you see one of these people, ask them, what came of the woman who said you're all going to die? What came of her and her alleged partner or boyfriend that was there with her? Was there any background on them? Was there any affiliation to Jesus Campos? Was there anything? Of course, you're not going to get any answer. But to me, that's just a big matzo ball that is just sitting out there that nobody wants to talk about, that this woman was running through the crowd saying you're all going to die. I mean, obviously, she had to know something. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, unless and also, too,
she got possessed or something.
Another thing to add, too, is last night when I went to Jesus Campos' house, I, like, zoomed in on the license plate on his red Corvette, and he has expired tags. His tags are months and months expired. So it's already super weird. Like, why is this guy who was the last person to supposedly see Paddock alive driving a car way out of his budget? I mean, he's a hotel security guard. I don't really think he could afford to drive the car that's in his Parkway. And why does he have why does he have expired plates that actually like show a registration to another
And
vehicle?
Why does the timeline make no sense? The timeline makes no sense. I mean, how is the guy shooting 200 rounds into the hallway and then they apparently don't even know where he is for some time? I don't know. I want to take a caller here with you, Laura, because this is an interesting caller who wants to talk about Illuminati game cards. Everybody's heard of this. It's always fun to talk about these things, but says that there might be some implication of Vegas on there. Let's go to the caller, Sean in California. Go ahead.
How's it going on? Pleasure to speak to you.
Go ahead.
So what I noticed, there was a couple different YouTubers that were putting this out. Scott Binsack was one of them, and then there was another guy, I forgot, which I got most of the information from. But the Vegas card, I'll start with that. If you look at it, it's a J and an A, and if you look at Jason Aldean's arm, you got the J and the A, you got the black inner red sun, and then he's got a couple more, like, satanic tattoos on him. And also from there, you know, you got the 9/11/10/1, which is, you know, 9/11, you know. So it all comes out to. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, pull up that Vegas card again, guys. I want to see that card.
Sorry about that. So, what made, like, crazy sense to me was it came out in 1996, and then they had a Pentagon picture on there.
Oh my gosh. And they're saying because of the joke, the Jack and the Ace is the same as Jason Aldean's tattoo on his arm. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me with this?
Well, it's 10/1, though. You know, also in. I'm not sure.
Oh, 10/1. Oh, the date. 10/1. The Harvest Festival.
Well, and to add on to that, if you look at the festival itself, it was called Route 91, and the shooting took place on October 1st. So 91-10-01, if you look at that numerically, it's 9/11/01.
Mm-hmm. And this has all the setup of the exact same characteristics of the September 11th attack, folks. Clearly orchestrated, the cover-up already ready to go. Final word, Sean?
If you look at his neck, he also has a 13 tattooed on his neck with the eyes closed, which I thought was crazy. And
thank you for the call, Sean. I'm certainly not implicating Jason Aldean in any of this. I want to be perfectly clear. Okay, it's just very strange, again, with this card. Pull up the card one more time. Laura Loomer, you're doing great work out there. Keep up the tenacity on the ground. So our caller, Sean, calls in. He says, there's a Las Vegas card and the Illuminati card. Of course, everybody takes interest in these things. Somehow they end up being accurate. You know what? I can't read that from here. Guys, print me that out, and maybe I'll just give that a read later. Folks, before we go, I got to let you know about some of our great specials. We're able to do all of this. We're able to get a crew to do all this research, get all these clips, get all these great guests on because you go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us. We've got all kinds of specials going on. 40% off Survival Shield X2. You need to take advantage of that immediately. Brain Force, 50% off. That's not going to last much longer. Secret 12, our B12 formula, also 40% off. So just, I mean, folks, these specials are ridiculous. I didn't even realize that we also had Nason Iodine 40% off right now. That is a must-have product, folks. Must-have product. Especially with all the radiation now that they're finding in the air. They just found out that there's all this radiation in the air in Europe. They don't even know what it's about. Okay, well, nascent iodine. Have iodine ready. That's how you can fight that back. That's how you can fight back with your biology and science against radiation in the atmosphere. They're just going to say, oh, that's an acceptable level of radiation. Oh, yes. No, it's unacceptable, and that's why we have nascent iodine Survival Shield X2 to protect your body. And we also have an exclusive coupon code, PRO10. PRO10 at InfoWarsStore.com. PRO10, 10% off our whey protein. InfoWarsStore.com.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. At InfoWars.com/show.
We're going to make America great again, people. Donald Trump's going to bring jobs, and then you're going to have work to do. It's going to be great.
We'll be right back. is this the calm before the storm, as President Trump recently hinted at?
You guys know what this represents?
Well,
maybe it's the calm before the storm.
What's your storm?
It could be the calm before the storm.
And according to defense sources, President Trump may visit the DMZ on the Korean border in early November when he visits South Korea.
In North Korea, our goal is denuclearization. We cannot allow this dictatorship to threaten our nation or our allies with unimaginable loss of life. We will do what we must do to prevent that from happening, and it will be done if necessary, believe me.
Former President Carter has now offered to intervene, according to South Korean newspaper Korea Jungang Daily. University of Georgia professor of public and international affairs Park Hon-sik told the South Korean paper, should former President Carter be able to visit North Korea, he would like to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and discuss a peace treaty between the United States and the North and a complete denuclearization of North Korea. Park said Carter wants to prevent a second Korean War. The threat of North Korea reaching U.S. territory after modernization of a ballistic missile with a range of 3,000 kilometers has the international community scratching its head. Reuters reports Interfax cited Anton Morozov, a lawmaker and member of the lower house of the Russian Parliament's International Affairs Committee. Morozov was quoted as saying, "There was no talk about the deadline for solving this task regarding the ballistic missile." Hawaii News Now reported University of Hawaii students recently received an email with the subject reading, "In the event of a nuclear attack." New York Daily News reports experts believe that the Hermit Kingdom has also made progress on miniaturizing a warhead that could fit onto an intercontinental ballistic missile, which could reach Hawaii in about 20 minutes. U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis has alerted the military in case diplomacy fails.
What can the U.S. military do to lessen the likelihood of conflict on the Korean Peninsula?
Oh, what a great question. Let me talk about Korea for a minute because it's on all of our minds. And you know there's a reason that I recommended T.R. Fehrenbach's book, that we all pull it out and read it one more time. But ladies and gentlemen, it is right now a diplomatically led, economic sanctioned, buttressed effort to try to turn North Korea off this path. Now, what does the future hold? Neither you nor I can say. So there's one thing the U.S. Army can do, and that is you have got to be ready to ensure that we have military options that our president can employ if needed. We currently are in a diplomatically led effort. And how many times have you seen the UN Security Council vote unanimously, now twice in a row, to impose stronger sanctions on North Korea? And remember, the Security Council has countries like France and Russia, China, the United States. You know who's on there. And all voted unanimously on this. The international community has spoken, but that means the U.S. Army must stand ready. So,
let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Just a quick response to the John Bowne report that we just heard. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We're live weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Follow us on Twitter at War Room Show and warroom.show for all of our content. I really hope Trump does not go to the demilitarized zone. Can't even say that word. I really hope he doesn't go to the border. I'll say it simply. Because I just think it's going to be bad press. I can just see what the left is going to do, what the mainstream fake news is going to do with that story, and I just don't like it. I do feel like it's kind of a, they'll paint it as a jab against North Korea, and then they'll blame him if North Korea does anything. I actually think it'd be a good idea to send Carter. I think that is brilliant brinksmanship if Trump would send Carter. You can't lose that deal. You send Carter, you seem like you're, you know, open-minded. Hey, yeah, okay, go let the liberal, go let the Democrat speak for me. And then either he's successful and maybe does some good diplomatic conversations, or he completely flubs the whole deal, and then Carter's the jackass, and not President Trump. I would much rather see Jimmy Carter be the dog that they blame for anything North Korea does instead of President Trump, and that's what Trump could do by sending Carter out there. The guy doesn't look like he's much longer for the world anyway. He might be one of those people in Washington they talk about that sucks down the Alzheimer's pills. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get back to the phone lines and the Vegas shooting. This is what everybody wants to talk about. It just keeps getting weirder. Unless they're doing a real investigation and they're actually trying to scuttle some of this information in order not to tip off who else they might be investigating or something, I don't think that's the case, but let's just say that's the case. I think they're done. I don't think you're going to get any more press conferences. I don't think you're going to get any new details, any new developments. What we've been told is now the official story, and I think that it's pretty much in concrete now. That's what today's press conference meant to me. Why should I think the FBI is going to do something differently now? What, just because Trump's president? I don't know. Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's start with Ted, who is in Utah, wants to talk about the Vegas shooting. Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, I got a couple of points. I'm kind of leaning towards what Steve Pachenik says, that nobody died there. I haven't seen a picture, a single picture of a bullet hole in the stage or bullet marks on the ground or bullet holes in the bleachers. Can't we get somebody over there to take some pictures?
Well, I can say Hold on a second. You do bring up some good points. And actually, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I literally think it was all. I'm not even kidding you. This is what I was saying earlier. I'm following all of these scents, and each of them goes down a legitimate path. I think everything is true. I think there were crisis actors there. I think there could have been an ISIS element. I think the FBI could have been involved. Perhaps there was even a gun. I mean, literally, it's like everything. There could literally be everything. But it all points to the same thing. The same powers that be, the same New World Order that orchestrated 9/11 are the same people that orchestrated this event. Now, as far as you're talking about what Steve Pachenik and some other people are talking about, nobody getting shot, people definitely got shot. That, to me, is absurd. I'm not saying Steve Pachenik is a liar. I'm saying that because of his experience with these things and things that have happened in the past, he knows that the FBI, the CIA, the deep state, people that run regime change, people that do these things for legislation to be passed, they always set this type of stuff up. The FBI always tries to prop itself up. So when Pachenik says that, I think he's just speaking from experience, knowing that this is how they operate. But I have seen so much video, and I've seen enough video to know that there's no possible way people didn't get shot, and there's no possible way that there weren't people that actually got victimized by this. 17 hospitals people were sent to. They're saying over 500 people injured. That can't be fake. I mean, that simply can't be fake. I've taken so many calls that said they know people that got shot. I know people that got shot. We have eyewitnesses that came into our studio saying that they saw people get shot. So there's videos where you can literally see people standing and then bullets hitting the ground. Now, you make a fair point when you say, why aren't we seeing more pictures of this? Why aren't we seeing pictures of the bullet holes on the ground if he was shooting from such a high angle? Why aren't we seeing pictures of the bullet holes in the police car? The police officer today said that they were targeting police. So you make good points. I just cannot say that people didn't get shot. To me, that's just an impossibility. Let's go to Juan in Texas. Go ahead, Juan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Owen. All right, let me see. Where should I start? Hey, you know the Vegas video? If you go back to, like, the final minutes on that video that's 14 minutes long, I need you to go over it, man, because I seen some shots coming out the... It's one of the bottom three floors on the...
You're talking about the taxi right cab video.
The first building, the first five windows on the right, the shots coming out from there, man.
I'm not convinced of it. Yeah, I'm not convinced of it. I think it could just be a light or a reflection. I'm not convinced those are shots.
Because it matches with the sound. So you should. I'm
not really
you
though.
You don't think so?
No, no. I've reviewed this tape. I've reviewed this tape dozens of times. Slow motion, audio analysis, and I'm not saying you're wrong because I can't prove it either way. I'm just saying. My instincts and my research tell me that that just simply wasn't the case. It was probably a light, perhaps a strobe light meant to distract, or just a reflection of lights.
That IQ power y'all got. already had 20/20 vision, man. I know what I'm telling you, bro.
Well, you don't have 20/20 vision on a video, so let's just be clear.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man. On the rearview mirror also, before, like in the beginning, you see the flash also. And it's straight like a gun, man. I'm telling you. So that's a real video.
You got to understand, though. Here's the thing, Juan. No, but Juan, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to discount your opinion here. What I'm telling you, though, is if you're going to go with that narrative, the light is just not going to be the evidence that you have to conclude that's the case. Now, if you go listen to the police audio, if you listen to the police scanner, now you've got something because they're saying that there could have been shooters on the second floor, or the fourth floor, and stuff like that. So that, to me, is a lot more convincing, a lot more damning than the taxi video, which could easily just be lights and strobe lights and reflection. Thank you for the call, Juan. Let's now go to John in Texas. Go ahead, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Owen. First of all, I want to comment on what the other people are saying. They're questioning why there isn't more pictures of the ground or holes in the ground or stuff like that. Well, I think that's because they're not going to give any evidence whatsoever as to the source of the shooting. So that would reveal like the caliber. That would show the caliber. And I think there were multiple calibers used. They don't want to give you any info on that. That would also reveal the ballistic information, which they don't want to give any info on that. Because why? Because, like you said, man, it's in front of a pyramid. It's on this day. They have a proven track record doing stuff like this. So I think that whoever it is behind this, people did die. And it was part of that human sacrifice thing that they're into, probably because they feel like they're on the ropes. And they're really crying out, trying to, you know, show like, no, you know, we're a pagan nation, you know, whatever evil deity, they're trying to get some profit.
Yeah, I mean, they admit that they're witches praying to dark powers to do something about Trump. You don't think that they would sacrifice a bunch of people as part of some witch Luciferian sacrifice harvest festival?
Exactly. It's actually like almost expected because of the time, because of the day of the harvest festival. But even beyond that, I actually think that you're right to think that there is an ISIS connection, because I think that, ISIS is not Islamic at all, but just frankly occult, and the people behind it, you know, the people behind all that stuff, right? They're all that one faction. So,
yeah, I think it's these different groups. Literally, it's like all these different groups that hate America teamed up to try to do this. Now, what were they actually trying to do? Did they try to do multiple attacks? Did they try to blow up an airport? I mean, who knows what they were really trying to do and what really happened? Oh, it's just out of control. John, thank you for the call. 888-201-2244 is our number. And I just have to say, again, with everything that's been developing, I have to go back and retrace my steps sometime. What John was just saying is so key, and it was one of the first things I said. That's what he had to do today. Today we had to go back to the first two things that were important. The woman that said you're all going to die, and then what John brought up. Why aren't they showing us the bullet marks in the ground? Why aren't they showing us the bullet marks in the car? This is so key for evidence. It shows you the angle of the shots. It shows you the type of caliber that was used. I mean, those are two things right there that are so key. You know the FBI looked into that, unless they already knew what happened. Then they would just want to cover it up, which is exactly what they're doing. Huh. Strange how that works. All right. I'm just going to go to more of your calls. We got the calls lining up. We got a bunch of news. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Don't go anywhere. I promise I'm going to get to these stacks of news I have here. It's just this Vegas thing. It just has everybody wanting to talk about it. It just lends so many questions. And to me, it's such a opportunity for the masses to start to question the establishment, to start to question the world order, and to start to wake up, take the red pill, and realize the world that they actually live in. Yes, the FBI stages terror attacks and then lies and covers it up. Yes, that happens. I know it's hard to swallow. It's a tough pill to swallow, but that's what's going on, and now people are realizing it. Let's start with Jason in New Mexico. Now, Jason, you used to live and worked in the entertainment industry out there in Vegas. You wanted to talk about some of your experience. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I actually worked on the last Real World Las Vegas that was there, and the satanic community that I was exposed to frightened me so much that I relocated my whole family to New Mexico. I mean, I was working there 7 years, and I worked for like the UFC, Ultimate Fighter, all kind of good stuff. And then all of a sudden, I worked for the Real World, And I was exposed to, you know, that inner workings of Hollywood that you guys talk about. Just something didn't feel right, so much so I made good money, but I was like, you know, we're going to these clubs, big old Baphomets. I'm like, man, I didn't even know this place, these places existed. So I ended up quitting my job for the real world. And it's like, you know, I'm out of here. 2 months later, I moved to New Mexico because I felt that just that spirit, that draining spirit of like, this is not godly and something is going down. Something is going to happen. And like literally within 2 months, I moved to New Mexico.
I want to get a little more perspective on what you're talking about. Are you now, I'm assuming you're talking about the MTV television show, The Real World?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're working in Vegas. You're doing work for the UFC and other entertainments. Were you kind of like a crew hand or what type of work were you doing?
I was the lead production assistant on a lot of jobs that I worked in. I also
Production assistant, pretty big role. Yeah. Okay, and you're saying not until you started working for the real world did you really start to see the satanic underbelly of some of this entertainment industry?
Yes, sir. And also, like, you know, like the orgy groups. I mean, you just would go to these same clubs, like I say, that I wouldn't frequent. But because I was working with the real world, I was able to be off like Fremont Street. And like I say, we go into I don't want to name any of the clubs, but you have a feeling, but you're able to see it for themselves. They're very open. Baphomet posters, Masonic stuff. And you're like, wait a second. But you would see the same groups of people all around, you know, at the same spot. So I don't know. I also work the Mandalay Bay, and yeah, the freighters, there's cameras everywhere in Mandalay Bay. So for us to not see any inside footage, it's very it's scary. It's very scary for the media to be covering up like this.
Oh, they're so covering it up, and they're not going to get away with this. But one question I do have for you about the Mandalay Bay, you might not know the answer. Do they have security cameras in the emergency stairwell?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes, they do.
You know this for a fact.
I know it for a fact. I hate to say it, but yes, because I would frequent Mandalay Bay. I know the secret code to the elevators that clears it up. You'd be able to go to Penthouse, all kind of good stuff. But I guess my point is that what people need to realize is all these casinos are their own jurisdiction. So the guy that we need to really be talking to or looking at is the CEO of Mandalay Bay. Or
MGM. Yeah, and it's funny you say that as the sheriff comes out today and says no conspiracy between MGM or the FBI or the police department. Wow, great call from Jason in New Mexico. And I just got to tell you, from my experience in media too, what he's talking about here, having that access, when you are any part of a production crew or any type of a crew, you have to have access to all of this stuff. They give you all the access to the stuff because you have to do it to make sure the show goes smoothly. So it all checks out to me that he would know about the stairwell. He would know the codes to get to the penthouse. Just from my experience in working with media, it's the same thing with sports. I mean, I'm telling you, even when I had very low roles in the sports media, I could go anywhere. I had to know every element of every stadium, the locker room, everything, because you have to know where everything is in order to move the show smoothly. So that I just want to say that that information checks out as far as my experience is concerned. Let's go to Nick in California next. Nick wants to talk about the light in the video. I'm assuming that one of the callers in the last segment was talking about. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Owen, thanks for taking my call. You're the man. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of respond to that guy because I was kind of fooled by that the first couple of days after the shooting. You can see video of Big and Rich performing God Bless America on Instagram, and there will be videos that actually pan over to the Mandalay Bay and that will show that strobe light going off. But that completely debunked it for me. I definitely am a believer, though, in the overlapping fire, just from the other videos I've seen and everything.
Well, and it's strange to me, too, because people want to there's a big obsession over the light in that video. It's very strange. I don't think it's actually gunfire. A strobe light, perhaps. Why is a strobe light there? Is it a reflection? Was it placed there for distraction? But also the fact that we've got multiple videos during the shooting while the shooting was happening of the rooms that he was allegedly shooting from, and there is no light. I'm not an expert. I would assume you would see a muzzle flash, at least something, and you don't see anything from that room. It's just strange.
Yeah, it's creepy. And we live in Orange County, my wife and I, and she has clients that were there in the crowd that people behind them got killed. It definitely happened. There weren't any actors. I mean, I don't think you're saying that, but for people that are listening that want to go with that theory, I think I agree with you. It's ridiculous. I mean, there's definitely people affected by this. And I think what's strange now is the Jesus Campos thing, where he's had 2 weeks to reflect on what happened, to kind of deal with the shock of it. And clearly he was scheduled to go on all these media outlets. And then what happened the last minute? Did he just get nervous or, you know.
Or did they find out the truth about who he really was?
Exactly. So that's kind of going to be interesting. And I just hope this story doesn't go away. I appreciate you guys kind of keeping the light on it because there were, you know, hundreds of people affected by this. And, you know, there's lawsuits going on right now with people demanding, I mean, suing MGM, demanding, hey, what's, you guys get your act together. Because clearly, I mean, I support law enforcement, but there's a disconception or, you know, a mismatching between what the FBI is saying, what MGM is saying, and what the police are saying. So,
And don't forget that MGM basically made a statement saying that the police timeline doesn't check out with their timeline. So it's very strange. And then the sheriff says today, there is no conspiracy between the MGM and the police department and the FBI. Thank you for the call, Nick. And again, you know, the people that are alleging, you know, crisis actors and all that, people actually did find an ad for crisis actors for Vegas that weekend. I think that this was real. I think that people got shot. People probably died in the whole nine yards. I don't think you can fabricate all that. However, there is an element of truth and fact implying that the FBI stages these things. They've done drills like this before where they stage this and have crisis actors. Absolutely. Maybe, again, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that element was even at play. That could have even been another element at play. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's all these elements at play. And to me, that only points to one thing. The same people that killed JFK, that orchestrated 9/11, that do everything, all the evils, all the satanic evil, they're the same people that orchestrated this event. One more call this segment. Let's go to George. George, you got 50 seconds. Make it quick. All right, that was real quick for George. Thank you for the call. Let's try Jesse in Texas. Go ahead, Jesse. Go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
All right, so we'll just go ahead and put that caller on hold. We can't get another call in before the segment. I don't even know where to go. I mean, I've got stacks of news. You got Weinstein Gate. Trump is actually making America great again. I should be on air praising Donald Trump for everything he's doing, giving great speeches, returning the economy, affecting this country positively, and it's like we can't even talk about it because of this Vegas thing. And maybe that's what they want. They want to distract from how Trump is actually kicking ass. We'll be right back on their side. This is the War Room.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, my brain is working like triple time. Just trying to cover all this news and figure out what the hell happened in Las Vegas. And I can only do that with BrainForce right here, folks. Always at the desk, ready. And that's how you can make your brain work triple time. It's just hilarious, you know. All these people, oh, give me the Ritalin, give me the Adderall. No, thank you. That's disgusting. Give me the brain force that doesn't have negative side effects, that doesn't have a crash, that doesn't make you addicted to it. This is a natural nootropic neuroactivator, and it's 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. That's the big special that's going to end soon. We've got other specials, too. Nascent Iodine Survival Shield X2, one of my favorite products, a must-have. I mean, this is seriously a must-have. I will never not have a bottle of Survival Shield X2 in my house. I'm fully stocked. This is even an emergency thing that you could have, especially if radiation gets into the atmosphere. We already know. And so they put the fluoride in the water, and then you got the radiation in the atmosphere. What are you doing about this? If the answer is nothing, go get Survival Shield X2 and do something about it. It's 40% off right now. Take advantage of that. You need this in your emergency bag. You need this in your home at all times. It's Survival Shield X2. It's 40% off. Infowarsstore.com right now. It also fights the negative effects of fluoride that dumbs you down. All kinds of great products on sale. And we've got an exclusive coupon code offer for listeners of the War Room. Pro10. Pro10 coupon code. That's 10% off the True Whey Protein. This is a great all-natural protein, whey protein supplement. And I believe there's actually already a discount on this. And then we have an additional 10% off that discount. So I'm not even sure what the final price of that is. But this is high-quality protein. And especially for people that like to work out, whey protein is one of the most used post-workout supplements. And now we offer it at InfoWarsStore.com. There's already a discount. I think it's like 20% off or something already. And then you additionally add Pro10 to the coupon code. Boom. You get an additional 10% off. So take advantage of that exclusive offer for listeners of the War Room. All right, we're going to knock out the rest of these Vegas calls, and then we're going to move on to some other stuff the rest of the show. I know that it's hard to move on, but we just have to. Let's start with Jesse in Texas. All right, give it another try, Jesse.
All right, I would just like to talk a little bit about what they were saying about satanic events going on over there. And I think if that's the case over there, we should be looking more into who organized that event. And because it's exactly in the date that it should have been done.
And well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be... It's going to be your Abramoviches of the world, the spirit cookers.
Yeah, and other than that...
Who are all associated with Harvey Weinstein, by the way, and that's all coming to light.
Exactly. And other than that, I'm Puerto Rican, and I know it's off topic, and I apologize, but I just want to make a comment about Puerto Rico. I got information from Puerto Rico firsthand. My family's in there, and mainstream media... It's just saying nonsense about what's going on in Puerto Rico. I got my dad calls me every day. He tells me all the airplanes, helicopters, all the federal government help is getting to the places that it needs to be going. You know, the help is there, and yeah, they're rebuilding the electricity grid in a way that we have never been able to rebuild. I mean, where it used to be a wooden post, it's now a metal thing over there, and they're doing it right, just like Trump said. You know?
Yeah, and you know, this is exactly what you're talking about. The mainstream media is trying to paint an inaccurate picture, like, oh, it's still this much of the country without it. And they don't understand that he's rebuilding the infrastructure, and hopefully Puerto Rico will actually be even better off after this tragedy is finished with, after everything is rebuilt. Hopefully the infrastructure will be better. And the people that are actually in Puerto Rico, other than that nasty mayor, are all supportive of Trump and the effort that the United States and volunteers have been doing down there for Puerto Rico. So absolutely, thoughts and prayers still with Puerto Rico. And it's not just Trump, obviously, but it is the Trump administration and you know, FEMA and everybody else that is down there rebuilding that infrastructure, trying to get Puerto Rico back on its feet. Let's go to Fareed in Georgia. Go ahead, Fareed.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm great.
I love your show. Good. Well, I just have a point, because honestly, nothing is making any sense. Okay, this is what I'm thinking. Is it a possible that the shooter might not even be the real shooter? You see what I'm saying? What
if absolutely anything is possible at this point?
What if all this is just misdirection, like that movie Swordfish? You see what I'm saying? What if?
No. I completely hear what you're saying. What you're saying. All they've done is basically tried to sell us this same narrative that it was Stephen Paddock, the lone gunman, even though they can't figure out why. And by the way, I just realized you're actually calling from the country of Georgia. So, wow, thank you for listening over there in Georgia.
Yes, I love your show, and I love Alex. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, guys are doing a wonderful job, you know. But all I'm saying is nothing is making sense. Maybe we are even looking at the wrong guy. What if the shooter was already dead before the shooting? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're talking about Paddock already being dead, yeah, and basically just, yeah, a total patsy.
Exactly. And that's what I think, because this is America, and let's make America a great again. And we have all the technology. What if a camera has been hacked because there is no videos? I have been looking on the internet for a video. How come there is no video of him walking around? Or
exactly. I mean, it's so ridiculous. How can they continue to sell us this official narrative that Paddock was the lone shooter? He had no accomplices, no other bad actors, but yet they can't give us any evidence. They can't actually prove that with any evidence other than the photos that they've given us. Like you said, he could have been shot and dead before anybody got there. How do we know? We don't get to see any of the tapes. How did the weapons get to the room? We get nothing.
honestly, I think he was a smart man, but honestly, I do not believe that he is this smart to pull this thing like this. You know what I'm saying? The guy, even he is like, he have no thing on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Like, no Facebook. Like, the guy is like a ghost in the shell. Anyway, you know, that's my...
Yeah, the guy, and clearly, I mean, you know, just, it's like the guy clearly had to be laundering money for some other scheme. Was it a gun running scheme? I have an arms dealer on the show. What was that, Wednesday, guys? I, all these days just merged. We have a former gun runner on the show who talks about the scene, how he used to lay the weapons out. It was kind of like a showroom. And then you hear the accounts from the police officers that got in there first, and they're like, yeah, it was kind of like a showroom for weapons. There was weapons everywhere. So you're like, what? How? It's like, and then, okay, but then it also makes sense. That's the perfect patsy. Of course you want to burn your own. They burn their own all the time. A great call from Fareed in Georgia, guys. That's just awesome. That's just awesome. We're reaching people in other countries. I just love that. That's how we make this whole world great again. Let's take one more call. Let's go to Joe in Utah. You got 60 seconds. Go ahead. 58, 57, 56, 55. All right, great call, Joe. All right, we're going to move forward when we get to the next segment. But it's just crazy. I mean, there's so much evidence that shouldn't really hinder any investigation. For example, ballistics. What type of bullets were used? What type of bullet holes or marks were in the ground? Where were they hitting? Show us the evidence that they were aiming at the police officers, like Sheriff Lombardo said. Show us the cars that they were shooting. We get none of that. Can we get some security cam from the hotel? They've got the guy all the time. They could probably show us every movement Stephen Paddock made in Mandalay Bay. Absolutely they could. For sure. They already know. They told us they got the tape of him playing poker the night before. Oh my gosh. Well, this is going to be interesting to see what happens with this, folks. I think they're done. I think they're staking their narrative. Nobody buys it. This is going to totally blow up in their face. We'll be right back with more of the War Room on the other side. President Trump spoke this morning at the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. You know, it's strange. We got all these talks about voter integrity. Everybody seems to be, they claim they're on the same page. They want voter integrity. So the Democrats are going to look into Russia that was hacking our elections. Meanwhile, there's actually real voter fraud going on. And you just recently had an official in the state of Pennsylvania have to step down because massive voter fraud was uncovered. You also saw similar things in the state of Michigan. But regardless, President Trump was speaking at the Values Voter Summit this morning. We've got some clips for you. Christmas is around the corner, and President Trump is not going to be politically correct. He's going to say Merry Christmas.
Again, as we approach the end of the year, you know, we're getting near that beautiful Christmas season that people don't talk about anymore. They don't use the word Christmas because it's not politically correct. You go to department stores and they'll say Happy New Year and they'll say other things and it'll be red. They'll have it painted, but they don't say, well, guess what? We're saying Merry Christmas again.
I predict that liberal media and frothing at the mouth liberals are going to start saying that Thanksgiving is racist right around the corner. So I'm expecting that. Oh, and by the way, maybe I was just looking for this. It's on the top of a stack. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin's bullet-ridden faces featured in latest ISIS propaganda urging their jihadists to ambush President Trump. There you can see the piece of propaganda right there. Oh, I'm sure that President Trump wanting to reinstill Christian values into this country and not be politically correct and say Merry Christmas, I'm sure that doesn't make ISIS too happy. But we stand with our president on that. We say Merry Christmas here. And we'll say Happy Holidays too, but we celebrate Christmas. Now, here's President Trump again invoking God. This is clip 8.
It's our faith and our values that inspires us to give with charity, to act with courage, and to sacrifice for what we know is right. The American founders invoked our Creator 4 times in the Declaration of Independence. 4 times. Now, times have changed, but you know what? Now they're changing back again. Just remember that.
Round of applause. You know, it's funny how he talks about our Creator, and you've got this weird liberal scientific community that basically says science disproves God. I'm going to wax poetic here for a second, actually. Science transcends science. Doesn't science actually prove of a grand design? Doesn't science actually prove of a creator of creation? Science transcends science and proves creation. And that is why we are all under God. And that's why President Trump is invoking God back into this country, so the Luciferians will go hiding into the sewers where they belong. You know, and then he goes on and talks about the family. You know, I've got a story here. More Americans are living alone after recession, and you basically have the highest amount of Americans living alone than you've ever had in America. This is because of the destruction of the family. They've wanted to destroy the family. That's one of the pillars of America. You destroy the family, you destroy America. Here's President Trump trying to reinstill the family.
Bureaucrats think they can run your lives, overrule your values, meddle in your faith, and tell you how to live, what to say, and how to pray. But we know that parents, not bureaucrats, know best how to raise their children and create a thriving society. We know that faith and prayer, not federal regulation, and by the way, we are cutting regulations at a clip that nobody has ever seen before. Nobody.
I've never seen it before.
In 9 months, we have cut more regulation than any president has cut during their term in office. So we are doing a job.
Yeah, we got stacks of news on that as well. It's just, I don't know. It's amazing. Every time President Trump speaks, he just resonates more with me and more with the American people. Now he tries to bring pride in our country back. Again, he addresses the family that the left has killed. He addresses Christmas that the left has killed. He addresses God that the left has tried to kill. And now he's going to address pride in our country, which the left has tried to kill.
And build our communities are the true strength of our nation and the greatest hope for a better tomorrow. As long as we have pride in our country, confidence in our future, and faith in our God, then America will prevail. We will defeat every evil, overcome every threat, and meet every single challenge. We will defend our faith and protect our traditions. We will find the best in each other and in ourselves. We will pass on the blessings of liberty and the glories of God to our children. Our values will endure. Our nation will thrive. Our citizens will flourish. And our freedom will triumph. Thank you to the Value Voter Summit. Such an incredible group of people you are. Thank you to all of the faithful here today. And thank you to the people of faith
all across our nation and all over the world. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much, everybody.
I wasn't even planning on doing it like this, but every time he speaks, I literally have a news story that backs it up. You had stock records hit highs again today, and again, you have consumer confidence up again today. U.S. consumer sentiment unexpectedly, well, we expected it, surged to a 13-year high as Americans' perceptions of the economy and their own finances rebounded. That is in the midst of natural disasters literally across our entire country, hurricanes, wildfires. President Trump is just unbelievable. Here's another clip. President Trump talks about how he has followed through on his promises since he's been elected.
In the last 10 months, we have followed through on one promise after another. I didn't have a schedule.
He has.
But if
literally.
I did have a schedule, I
3%
would
say GDP, the border, I mean,
substantially ahead of schedule.
Now, we could get Obamacare repealed, but he's working with Rand Paul right now.
Some of those promises are to support and defend
hasn't even been a year.
I appointed and confirmed a Supreme Court justice in the mold of the late, great Justice Antonin Scalia, the newest member of the Supreme Court, Justice Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah, he also fired James Perjury from the FBI. Oh, I'm sorry, James Comey from the FBI. Let's go to this last clip here. President Trump on the current status of Puerto Rico.
We also stand with the millions of people who have suffered from the massive fires which are right now raging in California and the catastrophic hurricanes along the Gulf Coast in Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands. And I will tell you, I left Texas, and I left Florida, and I left Louisiana, and I went to Puerto Rico, and I met.
This guy works harder than anyone in the history of the world,
Virgin
man.
Virgin Islands. These are people that are.
How does he have the energy?
They've suffered gravely,
and he gives speech after speech after speech.
We're going to be there. We have really. It's not even a question of a choice.
It's the brain force. Trump's taking his brain force.
We're going to be there as Americans.
This is President Trump before every speech.
What they've gone through, and they're all healing. And their states and territories are healing, and they're healing rapidly. In the wake of the terrible tragedies of the past several weeks, the American people have responded with goodness and generosity and bravery. You've seen it. The heroism of everyday citizens reminds us that
President
the true
Trump
strength of
making
our
America
is
great again 24 hours a day.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Now that rapping about murdering his girlfriend and calling people fags doesn't sell as many records, Eminem has devised a fresh, original, truly original way to resonate with his audience. Call Donald Trump a racist.
Racism's the only thing he's fantastic for.
So edgy. Literally no other celebrity has said that about Trump. Trump, the same guy that the hip-hop community adored for decades. Oh, don't take my word for it. Here's the Huffington Post explaining how, before 2015, Trump was praised in no less than 67 major hip-hop songs. Rappers love Donald Trump.
Split swishers with my thumb. Get money like Donald Trump.
I might pull a rack and get ratchet, but I'll be Donald Trump in these hoes.
I made a million on that corner,
Donald Trump taking dollars from y'all.
I wanna be a Trumper.
That Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Bloomberg money.
But as soon as Trump started taking on the Democratic establishment, he suddenly became a racist and rappers started attacking him. Isn't that an amazing coincidence? But wait, let's give Eminem a chance. He's a great lyricist. Surely he's gonna bring something new, something different, something captivating. Surely he's not just gonna call Donald Trump orange.
And he's orange.
It's racist.
racist 94-year-old grandpa.
Yeah, maybe you should check into Trump's racist past, Marshall, because he probably hung around with even more black people than you did. The Clintons destroyed black families.
Super predators.
While Trump at least has a plan to rebuild the inner cities, including your hometown of Detroit. No, but Trump's the racist.
But we better give Obama props, because what we got in office now's a kamikaze that'll probably cause a nuclear holocaust.
No, Marshall, the person who wanted a nuclear holocaust was Hillary Clinton.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran.
You know, the person you cussed out 18 years ago when you were actually relevant. You know, the 90s, when you were somewhat counterculture. Unlike now, when you couldn't have your tongue more firmly jammed up the ass of the establishment. Oh, I'm sorry, Eminem's leading the resistance. That's why every corporate media outlet is creaming their pants over his tantrum. What exactly are you resisting? The Democratic establishment hates Trump. The Republican establishment hates Trump. The media hates Trump. Academia hates Trump. Hollywood hates Trump. The TV industry hates Trump. Oh, but you're so controversial for pushing the very same talking points that they do, and then being rewarded for it by those very same industries. So brave! You can't be the dominant culture and the counterculture at the same time. That's not how it works. And you want to give Obama props.
We better give Obama props.
Yeah, where was your anti-war rage when Obama was simultaneously bombing 7 different countries? I guess criticizing a black president just doesn't make commercial sense, does it? But I'm sure that Eminem's rage is all spontaneous, heartfelt, and genuine. I'm sure it has nothing whatsoever to do with him having a record coming out soon. I mean, it's not like he's literally got a new album coming out next month, is it? Oh, look, he does. Well, imagine my shock. Eminem, you're not edgy. You're not counterculture. You're a 44-year-old has-been who's completely run out of creative ideas. Your recent albums were panned by the critics, so now you're trying to ingratiate yourself by glomming onto the fake anti-Trump resistance. By resorting to the most cringeworthy, unoriginal, boring, virtue-signaling crap imaginable. What a total f***ing sellout. You made your name by lampooning mindless, safe, dull pop culture. Now you're genuflecting in a desperate effort to become a central part of that same vapid pop culture. How pathetically sad. You can hang out in as many multi-story car parks as you like. Not gonna change the scene. You've got the nerve to stand there with your $200 million net worth and claim to be some kind of voice of the people while putting on a fake southern accent to smear millions of ordinary Americans.
He's gonna get rid of all immigrants
who voted for Trump because 8 years of Obama's economic hate crimes left them dead broke.
He's gonna get rid of all immigrants.
You little prick.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Well, Weinstein Gate has opened up the floodgates to the truth about Hollywood. Stuff that's been reported on for a long time, alleged for a long time. It's all coming out now. I'm calling it Weinstein Gate. And somebody that recently came out on Twitter is a guest that you're probably familiar with. Yes, there it is. Harvey Weinstein is just the tip of the iceberg in Hollywood and the music industry, folks. But Kaya Jones has joined InfoWars plenty of times. And this morning, she got on Twitter awfully bright and early and started tweeting about her experience in the music industry. Now, Kaya is joining us. I don't know if she's done any interviews since these tweets. I haven't seen them, so we might be getting the first interview here with Kaya. Kaya, first of all, thank you so much for joining us and just your willingness to talk about this subject.
No, thank you, guys. You guys have been awesome to me always. So you guys are the first that I'm talking to, yeah.
Well, I'll just get right into this. This is going to be one of the toughest things I've ever had to talk about with somebody in an interview. So let's just get right into this. Now, you're specifically implicating that when you were younger and in the music industry, I'm using your words, you weren't in a girl group, but you were in a prostitution ring.
Yeah.
Do you care to elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's my truth and it's something that I think the other girls need to come forward with. I left the group and I, you know, I there's many interviews where you can hear me saying, for what went on behind the scenes, not in front of the camera. I tried to speak out in 2004 and 2005 with my manager, telling my manager at the time what I was going through, who, you know, basically told me that I should have done what these desires were from some of these people. And then I tried again with media and press, going to them and them just basically going, yeah, wow, interesting, and then turning their back on it. And I mean, you know, some outlets that literally, it's funny to see them, you know, talking on mainstream news today and like what they're talking about and how they have a narrative. And it's like, well, I really hope that when TMZ and Perez Hilton and all of them, when they start, you know, in Entertainment Weekly and all the ones that know, they all know. They all know the details of the dirt in Hollywood. And they keep it hush-hush because they're friends with most of the powers that be. They want to get the best interviews with the most current people. And of course, at the time, I was not considered a current person to talk to when you're walking away from the institution that's number one in the world at the time. So no one really wanted to hear why this girl was leaving the Pussycat Dolls. It was kind of like, who cares? We love the Pussycat Dolls. It's about the Pussycat Dolls. But when I say that I was in a prostitution ring, what I mean is that each one of us, one at a time, were put into situations that were not conducive. Many of the girls took the bait. I was not one of them. And that's what I mean. I mean that we're controlled by the makeup was on your face, the color that you used, your hair, no tattoos, no piercings. Who you were dating was also up for discussion because it had to be someone that was within their community, you know, the powers that be their people. If you dated someone outside of that, you weren't a team player. Again, to build leverage on young artists and to be able to then hold that over them, which is why a lot of them don't come forward, is because they actually, you know, even though they were abused and victimized, what they don't realize is that they are now dragged into being part of the villain side of it, where, oh, well, you slept with so-and-so, so are you really going to open your mouth up about that? It's, you know, it's extortion that they have on top of being victimized, which is why I don't want to put girls that I've been in the group with out on blast, but I hope that they actually start speaking up. And for me, why it's imperative to talk about this today, you know, last week I was involved in being on stage with, you know, Big and Rich, and Vegas was attacked, and 58 people died. I could have been one of those people. Any of those people that you were a part of the festival, I could have been one of them. So the first thing is that I'm still healing from that, and I have no reason to hide anything anymore in my life because I feel completely, you know, why don't I go after everything at this point? You know, people are not here. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is that now Hollywood's talking about it. Because now Hollywood's ready to discuss this, it's okay now for me to actually get loud. Because when I was trying to get loud, I was shut up. Each time I was told not to say anything, you're not going to get a job. And I mean, yeah, like my career was affected by it. I mean, there's no way around it. When you know things about people that, and I don't mean like small fish, I mean massive fish. And it goes all the way down to artists that people listen to every day that know. I mean, I went to artists too that were friends that literally turned to me and said, we should just do whatever they want. I mean, you're going to be famous. Literally. So this is why today it's my truth to say, you know, thank you, Rose McGowan, for coming and speaking out. And Mira Sorvino for speaking out. And the different women that are coming forward and speaking out. But there are women in my group that need to speak out. And I heard that, you know, now they're trying to do a reunion. And I'll be, you know, no way are you going to take advantage of the public anymore. No way are you going to leverage whatever you're trying to leverage to make more money and use the girls in a way that, you know, because they don't have a lot going on, most of the girls. So they want to jump for that opportunity. But I say to them here and now, tell the truth. That's your opportunity, is to tell the truth. They all know the truth. I walked away from it. And I'm going to continue to speak out about it, so they better get ready for it. I'm not stopping. This is just the beginning of me talking.
You've said so many things so far that I have so many questions of. I'm not even sure where to go. Let's start with this. Now, are you telling me that your experience being at the Las Vegas massacre and being so close to a deadly event kind of changed your process on this and made you want to come out even more?
I think it's made me just want to attack life. It's made me want to attack life. It's made me feel grateful that I'm here. It's made me question why some of us that lived and others that died, who placed God in that moment, so to speak. And if I'm here because this is God's will, then I have to do his work. And his work would be to tell the truth from this day forward, each and every single day of my life, and to be honest and to uphold a certain measure of accountability. And I'm a part of an industry that has covered things up for too long. And I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And I don't care anymore, because at the root of it, there are people that have to bury their family members and people that are forever shattered for losing people that were part of a music event, a beautiful night of a festival that ended tragically. And so to wake up and be here and people are gone, what am I saying? What am I doing? And what am I living for? Those are my questions.
And you're also saying that you have tried to come forward on this before, much like stories we've seen with people trying to come out on the Harvey Weinstein thing and people spiking it, people holding it back. You're saying that you're confirming also similar stories have been spiked from what you tried to get out?
Oh, I mean, well, everyone can go Google search 2011 when Nicole Scherzinger, my ex-bandmate, you know, decided to say she was the only one that sang, she was the only one that did anything. Well, why don't we ask her why she was one of the only people that everyone saw? Why doesn't she speak up and say exactly what was going on and the marriage that she broke up and the people that she affected with what her choices were, because she was too was a victim. The eating.
Well, now I have to stop you right there, because you mentioned other girls. You've said other girls. Are you specifically talking about your bandmates, Kaia Jones, formerly of the Pussycat Dolls? Or are you saying that there's even a larger conglomerate of females in the music industry that are victimized by this?
Oh, my God. I mean, the list goes far, deep, and wide. In the music industry, the running joke is, you know, you're either a tough girl, which we get, you know, coined to be a B-I-T-C-H, or you're a pro-ho. That's the running joke. I mean, everyone knows it in the music industry. We joke about it. It's something that we would joke about.
So it's like the same thing with Harvey Weinstein. We had all these jokes, late night comedy, you know, 30 Rock, all these people joking about it. You're saying the same running jokes are going on in the music industry.
I spoke out about it in 2011, and you can see the article that they picked up, and it only talks about what I said about, you know, the girls and Nicole. It doesn't talk. I said a long statement. Of course, they didn't want to use it.
Wow. All right. We're going to have more of that. This is Kaia Jones on the other side. She's talking about her experience in the music industry. Powerful stuff. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We're joined by Kaia Jones, formerly of the Pussycat Dolls. She's telling her story of her experience in the music industry. She took to Twitter this morning and really put a lot on the line. Now, I want to get back into this with you, Kaia. You specifically used the word prostitutes, and I'm just curious. You're basically alleging that they forced you to sleep with people. Are you saying that that's what happened to you?
Yeah. They force situations where you have to either do it or not. You have to make a choice. And prostitution or, you know, pornography in any way, I mean, to me is more honest, because at least this is what you do for a living. It's established and you're not pretending to be something you're not. Pretending to be, you know, an icon, pretending to be somebody that becomes this focal point for young women to look up to, when really you're a prostitute. You're doing things for money. You're doing things for your career, and it's being pushed onto you, or you're jumping to it. That's what this is. So that's exactly what I meant. I meant every single word that I tweeted out.
What type of people were they making you sleep with? Are you talking about music executives, people high up in the industry, friends?
No. Executives and managers. And agents, and other artists that are on the label. If you don't want to sleep with an executive, they'll pass you to that. Or sometimes they just continue to pass the girl. So she just passed around.
And this was well known in the industry.
It's safe to say when I sit down with 90% of the producers that now want to work with me and they go, oh, is it true? Well, you know, we heard. They all knew.
Now, I want to talk about a narrative that's kind of being talked about now where there's a debate. Are these women, yourself included, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Are these women brave that are coming out now? You have Jane Fonda saying she regretted not saying anything. Or were they cowards because they didn't say anything and then more people were abused? You know, hearing your testimony, I can only imagine it's just probably traumatizing to even have to relive this and talk about it.
No.
Is it something that's so, but is it something that's so traumatizing to even relive that, you know, maybe people don't even want to talk about it? They'd rather just bury it deep. And now that they're seeing other people come to light, that's given them the courage. I mean, what do you think about this?
Oh, of course. I think that we live in a very evil world. The world is not a good place, okay? So this is all industries across the board. However, when it comes to powerful people, people protect them. And each time I tried to say my piece, I mean, from other record companies, I told when they wanted to sign me when I left the Dolls, and I would sit in with them and tell them my truth, and I mean, nothing was done. I mean,
it's kind of like people are listening now, is what you're saying.
Oh, they're listening now because their house of cards is coming down. Mm-hmm. That's why they're listening. So now we have their attention because we're not fingers anymore. At the time, I was one finger, you know, poking, going, listen, now we're a giant fist because all those fingers are now in a fist. So you can't really stop a fist. A fist can have a mighty blow. And that's what everyone is seeing, is that each girl that comes out, it is a good thing. And no, it's not to get attention. And yes, other women have been victimized. To be honest, take a look at the girl groups that came after the Pussycat Dolls. There was Girlicious, and then there was GRL. Well, one of the girls from GRL committed suicide. The day that I was told this, I literally said out loud, they caught a weak bird. Because that's the truth. 21-year-old girls don't kill themselves, okay? But I can assure you I had moments of wanting to when I was in that situation, and I made a choice for myself by literally listening to God in my spirit and holding fast to his word and his voice telling me, you need to leave. This is what you need to do. If I didn't have faith in my life, I don't know where I would be. Because a lot of my other bandmates stayed. I know they're not happier for it. I know they don't feel better for it. They turned a blind eye to it. I hope that they all speak. I really do. Because I'm one of many. Many. And when the names slowly come out, one at a time, and you realize it's household names, it's names you watch, it's names you sing to and on the radio that have gone through this, that feel that they're really, what it is intimidation. You're not going to get a job. And most of us didn't go to college or university. We started really young. This is all we have. So when you threaten your livelihood, or you're going to go work at McDonald's, or you're going to go do that, like, how, but I'm meant to sing, or I'm meant to, you know, entertain. That's what my job is. It's not really easy to say that to people. It's easier said than done to say, just give up on everything, okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing is also you're threatened, literally. I literally was threatened by men coming to my door letting me know that if I wanted to speak out about things, that they would have a problem, that there would be an issue. So what do you do when you're a single girl, you know, living by yourself in Hollywood, who's being literally told by goons that are sent by these people that if you don't follow order, that there's going to be a problem? And look at the record company I was signed to. I mean, everybody knows who Aftermath and, you know, Death Row and Interscope and Universal, they all know these people. They're not upholding people in the community. Look them up.
Kaya, like, when you... the story that came on the Daily Mail the 7th of October 2012 is the story you're talking about. It really makes a lot more sense now. But specifically, yeah. Now that you're tweeting this, or even in the past, have you been directly death threatened?
Oh, yeah. But now I don't care. Because, like I said, last week, it was too close to home for me. It's my hometown, Vegas. People were gunned down who were innocent. So if they're going to gun me down, I'm going to go out blazing with my truth. So that other
do you feel stronger now or weaker?
100% stronger. 100% stronger. But I feel it's imperative now, through working through, you know, everyone that was there was emotionally and mentally affected by it. There's no way to say that you weren't. If you were a performer on that stage, or if you were a patron in that audience, you were affected by last week's events. Even if you weren't and you're across the country, you know, it is our worst mass shooting in U.S. history. They're turning it into politics and gun laws, and people are still trying to just process what happened to their family members and friends. For me, it's my hometown. What just happened here? And if it's safe to say that any day someone can just kill people for the sake of whatever their cause is or their narrative, then it's worth me speaking the truth now, because this at least is for the future generations of women that are going to come up and want to be singers. And they should know what they're walking into, or there should at least be a better institution in the music community where we don't do this to young women, where we don't push this on to young girls.
Kaya Jones, former member of the Pussycat Dolls, thank you so much for this exclusive interview.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
It's tough to come back to Earth after doing an interview like that. When you have someone that was actually in the belly of the beast talking about what it's really like and the experience there and just the sick, satanic behavior and the rule. Luciferians have ruled over the entertainment industry. And just big, big thanks to Kaya Jones. Big shout out. And sounds to me like, I mean, she just keeps getting more powerful every day. So thank her for that exclusive interview. Share that with your family and friends, folks. We got to take Hollywood down. We got to take these Luciferians in the entertainment industry out. It's full press now to destroy all of these people that have destroyed humanity. Destroyed America, destroyed the truth. Yeah, you know what? You want to destroy everything, eventually you're going to be destroyed. So, it's just crazy. We're going to clear the, we're going to get some phone calls here in this segment. And then in the final segment, I'm going to do a news blitz and get to all the news. But folks, it's all possible. We get these great guests. We do three shows a day, 10 hours of live broadcast. Alex is building new studios. The biggest studio we have, Alex is trying to build it right now. And it's all possible because of your support at InfoWarsStore.com. By now, I'm sure you've heard about BrainForce, 50% off. Take advantage of that. InfoWars Caveman True Paleo Bone Broth Formula. This is a great supplement, 50% off that. The entire line of Emmerich's Essentials, 50% off that. And it's funny because I just come on here and I read all the specials. There's so many products at InfoWars Store right now. I mean, it is crazy. You can't go to the InfoWars Store, InfoWarsStore.com, and not find something for you. You'll find a supplement that you use every day there. You'll find a t-shirt that you like. You'll find a new hat that you want to wear when you go shooting or you go fishing. You'll find a gift for a family member. You'll find a flag, Made in America, coffee, mugs, everything. We've got everything. Support us. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Search the entire website. You're going to find something that you want, that you need, and you pay it forward because you support InfoWars, which has been trying to tell you everything about Hollywood, everything about the government for all these years. It's all coming out now. And again, it was amazing to me. Like, that's what I'm saying. This is the difference between InfoWars and any other mainstream news outlet. When I saw Kaya Jones' tweets today, when I saw this story on Kaya Jones, someone that I've talked to a lot, my first response was, oh my gosh, I want to give her a platform. Oh my gosh, I have to get this story out there. NBC, New York Times, they don't care. They don't want to get the truth out. So support us at InfoWarsStore.com. And we actually have exclusive offers every day for listeners of the War Room. And right now, the coupon code is PRO10. And that's 10% off the True Whey protein. If you're somebody that likes to lift weights, you got your post-workout protein smoothie or shake, 10% off True Whey protein with coupon code PRO10 at InfoWarsStore.com. PRO10 for an extra 10% off our True Whey protein. Help InfoWars go to the next level. We've already changed the world this much. Imagine what more we can do. All right, let's take a couple of calls. Let's go to Shane in Florida. Go ahead, Shane.
Hey, Owen, appreciate what you're doing, man. Hey, listen, I work at an aerospace company, and I'll tell you what, most of us are ex-military, and we're not having this. And I've never seen something like Mandalay wake up so many people. We have to get the truth. I woke up when I was downrange, but I want to get on to what I really want to call about. The Delano Hotel is just east of Mandalay, and I believe it's part of the same complex. If you look at the video where the guy starts running and they hide behind that car, and there's a couple ladies there, and then the security guy says, hey, keep going, keep going.
Yeah, the video we played on Wednesday, right?
Okay, yeah, well, that one, if you take a look up towards the Mandalay, he captures, and this is right with Mike Adams' timing, the light, the very top of the Delano Hotel. It comes on, and then you get the high-pitched cracks, and then you get the report a third of a second later. He sees that two times. That light goes on, and then it goes off. I mean, you know, I just think we need to get the truth, and it's really, I don't think we, I personally don't feel like I really want to move forward, and I hope the whole country feels the same way.
You know, that's an interesting point that you make, Shane, because I'm the same way, but I've been that way since the Boston Marathon bombing, and I've talked about how that was what woke me up and made me change my career. I left the sports media, and now here I am at InfoWars. But that's why this Vegas thing has been so imperative to me, because I feel like the majority of Americans are thinking the same thing that you're thinking, like, I can't move on. They're lying to me about this mass attack on my country. They're lying to me about this mass attack. And they have so much evidence that they won't talk about in any of the press conferences that we the people see, and they just want to act like it doesn't exist. I don't think this one's going to get swept under the rug. I'm telling you, this is blowing up in their face. I guess they really were going for broke. They really thought they could pull it off again. But I agree with you, and you're saying you work at an aerospace company. You're saying nobody there buys it.
Well, you know, I went into the Army, and a lot of us did, and not because of 9/11. I went and I flew Apache helicopters and chased people around that I don't know, and a lot of us woke up, and I'm one of them, and that's why I got out. And I'm personally offended. Mm-hmm. And I grew up on John Wayne in America, and I still believe in it. And I don't think that we're going to let this go. But, you know, Michael Chertoff and guys like that, you better believe we know your name, and we're going to come get you using the court of law and everything. I've had it. And a lot of us have absolutely had it. There's little girls in their early 20s. I'm 39, missing parts of their body right now. We got to get the truth. We got to find out what happened. I'm not ready to move on. And a lot of people, we cannot move on from this. This is such a blatant lie that Forrest Gump could figure it out. Unless they're just trying to make the entire country lose all faith in every part of government that there is, you know, which will help burn it down too. But there's a lot of people who aren't going to let that happen. Really believe in this thing, you know.
And a lot of them are veterans like yourself, Shane. Thank you so much for the call and the breakdown as well as your service. And like I said, they can't sweep this under the rug. See, they're honestly mismeasuring everything. That's the craziest thing. They mismeasured Hillary Clinton. They're mismeasuring how they think they can cover this up. Don't worry. We'll have CNN and MSNBC and then all of the NBC, ABC, CBS affiliates and then our Fox News hosts. We'll have them bury this and push this under the rug and we'll sweep this under the rug and the American people won't ask any questions. Nope. It's not working, is it? Because those same media outlets that they're relying on to brush this under the rug told us that Hillary Clinton had a 99% chance of winning. You really think that you can... You literally... The Luciferians that have a foothold in almost every industry really thought they had mentally retarded enough of the population that they could pull this off. They could pull it all off. They could pull Hillary off. They really did. And they mismeasured. We're still here. We're still alive. Our brain still works. Screw you. You're not getting away with it again. Let's take one more call. Let's go to Daniel in California. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything you're doing there, Owen. But this actually tails off of what you were talking about there with no one letting this go and all the people who can think clearly focusing all their attention on Las Vegas. I ended up seeing an article pass through recently regarding the base of my point is having to do with November 4th and the left's retaliation, how they're going to blame an attack on the Republicans or the conservatives, or Alex says like an NFL event or a rap concert or something like that, but I ended up seeing an article regarding an Obama Foundation Young World Leaders Summit out in Chicago at the end of this month, 31st and November 1st. And if anything would mess a lot up and really, really screw America up, that would be...
And that's the Obama Library that doesn't have any books in it, but it does have secret records on Clinton and Lynch colluding with the FBI. We are winning, folks. It's tough, but we are winning. Welcome back to the War Room, final segment. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. I'll be back with you on the Alex Jones Show on Sunday at 4 p.m. Central. You can find all of our content at Infowars.com/show. For the War Room's content, warroom.show. Let's do a news blitz here on Friday the 13th. This is just breaking on Cernovich.com. Hollywood sex abuse. Seth Rogen accused of sexually assaulting 17-year-old girl. I wonder if that's why he smokes from the establishment bong all of the time. Literally, it's like sick how much he worships Hillary Clinton and the establishment liberals. But let's get into this news blitz. Oh, and just what I was talking about before the break, how everything is really dark and twisted and disturbed right now. Remember that it's always darkest before the dawn, folks. It's always darkest before the dawn. Arrest made in manhunt for killer of 7-year-old boy and 3 others. A sheriff says the suspect in the deadly shootings of a 7-year-old boy and 3 adults has been arrested after a manhunt in Ohio that lasted for more than a day. And again, yeah, usually you go on a manhunt when you have a killer on the loose, but we're not getting any of reports of a manhunt because of the Vegas massacre, which pretty much anyone who's done analysis of this agrees there's multiple shooters. In fact, questions, maybe even Paddock wasn't the shooter. So why no manhunt after the Vegas massacre that left 59 dead and clearly appears to be multiple shooters? No manhunt, though. No manhunt there. Busted. Judicial Watch catches FBI hiding missing Clinton Lynch tarmac meeting documents. Well, they'll just, you know, put those in the Obama Library. They don't have any books there, but they'll hide all these documents that you can't look at, because if you saw them and the public saw them, you'd see how criminal the FBI was when they colluded with Lynch and Clinton's to cover up their crimes. And then James Comey, of course, was involved in all that too. So the Democrats are also collapsing. Again, everything's collapsing right now. It's like trying to keep the tabs on everything. The Democrat Party is, I mean, it's literally a shell of itself. It's pretty much dead. Scientists puzzled in Europe as they're mysteriously showered with radioactive particles. So they don't even know what's going on. Just all of a sudden, there's all these radioactive particles in the air in Europe. That's why you need Survival Shield X2 Nace Nidine from InfoWarsStore.com. Swedish dentist reveals 80% of migrant, quote-unquote, children are actually adults. Then he gets fired and loses his home. That's what you get in Sweden when you say anything negative about the migrants. I'm sorry, did I say negative? I meant truthful. I meant honest. When you honestly talk about their open borders and how it's destroyed Europe. And so it's destroyed Europe. They want to try to destroy America with the same plan. Two DACA recipients arrested for smuggling illegal immigrants. Isn't that nice? you know, we're so nice to these people. We just let them in here, let them do what they want. And then what do? They break the law. You know, this is actually a funny story. The story is completely irrelevant. This is from the Washington Post. Immigration judges say proposed quotas from Justice Department threaten independence. This is watching this story getting published and then watching leftist liberal media respond to it really shows you how they operate, folks. All of these pundits wake up and then they read the Washington Post and they read the Washington Times. I saw multiple talking heads on liberal mainstream media quoting this story, citing this story because it's a threat to independence. Trump's administration, a threat to independence. And then you read it. All they're trying to do is follow the law. Folks, all of the non-citizens that are here, this whole DACA thing, all of this stuff, this is all symptoms of leftist policies. These are all symptoms of Democrat policies. So the Trump administration is trying to address a symptom of Democrat liberal policies saying, look, we've got all these non-citizens here. We've got all this legislation that's making it worse. We have to do something about it. And then the left that instilled the entire thing says, oh my gosh, you're a threat to independence. No, we have to address symptoms of the illness of liberalism that you gave our country. Weinstein Gate continues to unfold. Oscar-winning director Oliver Stone accused of sexual assault. Yeah, I'm sure that's fake news. Doubt it. Jailed mom devastated that her son was vaccinated while she was behind bars. So that's nice. I don't know, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to make this woman a hero. However, the government takes control of her kids and then vaccinates them against her will. Imagine my shock. Forced vaccine. These vaccines don't even work. I mean, how many times? I can't go down that road right now. Triple sex attack in Tower Hamlets. Worst I've ever seen, detective says. The victim was assaulted 3 times in an hour walking in London. There's another symptom of Democrat / liberal policies. Just, you know, you just get raped three times in an hour by non-citizens. People on Social Security will see their checks go up in 2018. You know, my first reaction when seeing this is Social Security is a dying program. It was set to be bankrupted like 5 different times. They keep pushing it back. Is President Trump going to try to save Social Security? The whole thing is a robbery. And I'm on the edge of this. It's like I've already paid so much money into Social Security. Do I want to try to save it or do I just stop paying into it so we don't have the government stealing our money from us anymore? Trump vows to end Iran deal himself if Congress won't act. I actually love what Trump did with this, and he does this all the time. See, Congress is used to not doing anything. Congress is used to kind of colluding with one another as one giant swamp member. And so what Trump does is he comes in, he makes a big fuss about things. Let's use the Iran deal or Obamacare as an example. Makes a big fuss, makes a big hubbaloo, and then says, oh, okay, well, you don't like how I'm dealing with, yeah, here you go, Congress. We'll just give it to Congress then, which is what the president's supposed to do. And then Congress is like, oh, why are you giving this to us? We don't work here. We don't do anything. We already have the entire thing planned out. We're already colluding. Everything. There's no actually work that's done here. Why are you making us debate this, Trump? What? Now, this is going to have all the people that blame the Jews for everything going crazy, but Netanyahu congratulates Trump on courageous Iran decision. Yes, of course, Israel is going to support Iran not being nuclear. Yeah, look, I've said it since day one. Trump is a pro-Israel president. He's not secret about that. But everybody means that that just means the Jews run everything, according to anybody who reads that from the left. Thursday night football ratings dip as Eagles win and national anthem not shown. So the NFL is totally failing here. This is now the National Fail League. Ratings continue to lower and drop and drop and lower and record lows. And they know why. It's because they're protesting the anthem. But the NFL is so cowardly that they won't tell the players to stand for the national anthem. And so now what they've done is they've told the television executives, well, just don't show the anthem. So that's the NFL's answer. Sorry, your audience is smarter than that. We like America more than we like football. This is from CNN. I lost my headline here, but I believe it was most college athletes read like fifth graders. Now, this is from 2014, and I wanted to pull this up because there's been multiple stories, but I wanted to pull the CNN one up. See if you guys can find it. I think it's most college athletes read like fifth graders. Okay, and so then you have, there you go. Okay, some college athletes play like adults, read like fifth graders. And there's famous stories about this. Here was the most famous. NCAA's 3-year investigation into fake classes at UNC ends with a whisper. So UNC gets caught literally having fake classes. Literally the classes don't exist. They just put it there so athletes can sign up and then get an automatic A. Other schools have been caught doing this as well. It's famous. You know, if you've ever, when I went to the University of Missouri, I literally had a class with a bunch of football players. They never showed up. They all drove the same Ford F-150 and somehow got better grades than me. But the point is, guys, these athletes that are taking a knee, unfortunately, I just don't think are that well educated. And you'll notice the ones that aren't taking a knee. So there's something to this, okay? When you don't educate yourself, when you don't educate people, when education fails, you see what the end result is, okay? So just keep that in mind. Even CNN. So, you know, before anyone says we're racist here, I'm reading off CNN. College athletes read like fifth graders. That's according to CNN. And that's what happens when the NCAA that doesn't pay its athletes, the NCAA that makes billions of dollars every year, doesn't pay its athletes and also doesn't educate them.
We put our student athletes first.
Give me a break. NCAA, NFL, you're all going to fail. Celebrity publicists are bailing on Megyn Kelly today. Hold on. Actually, I'm here with, this is literally Megyn Kelly. This is Megyn Kelly. No, put the camera on me. This is Megyn Kelly. This. And then trash. Death toll hits 31. Wildfires become deadliest in state's history. Still a lot of questions about these wildfires, folks. Forced evacuations, hundreds of thousands of acres burned. And it's really something that the people out there addressing it have never seen before. Asteroid that just buzzed Earth may not miss on return visit. So, yeah, they were saying close call. Asteroid is going to test the Earth's warning systems. Now they're saying it's going to come back and might not miss. Japan volcano ring of fire erupts after hundreds of earthquakes. So, you know, again, a sign of the times. Ophelia, 10th hurricane in a row. Hasn't happened in over 100 years. Blood sunset. And, brave passengers board flight 666 to hell on Friday the 13th. Sign of the times, folks. Owen Schroyer signing off. You stay classy, Info Warriors.